Welcome to Desperate Parents of Hollywood with Greg and Stephanie Blum.
You better be thankful that I'm still married to you.
I am. And I thank my lucky stars every day.
Now, you do? Uh-huh. Really? Mm-hmm.
That's so nice. In some way. Maybe I don't show it.
No.
But in my mind, I'm feel blessed.
All right, listen. Well, thank you. We have a special guest coming up later in the show. Mr. Tom Riehl.
Yes.
Stand-up comedian extraordinaire.
Hilarious.
And
do you have a clue?
You know I'm not very technical.
I know. You have a good personality.
What do I have that's good?
You're kind-hearted.
That's it?
And funny.
Yes.
And generous.
Oh.
And cute.
Keep going. Cute.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And what else? And great daddy.
You had a fun time with your vibrator last night.
I did enjoy it.
That's why you're in a good mood.
It's actually this morning.
You're glowing.
We had a shower together. Don't I sound happier?
Don't tell my mother.
I'm going to get her one for her 80th birthday. Would she mind?
Stephanie, what do I need a vibrator for? I can have Gregory vibrate me.
Oh, no. Gosh, no. Do you think that would be a good present?
A vibrator for an 80-year-old woman.
Why not? Do you think she has no more sexual feelings? Her libido is dead?
What am I supposed to do with this thing?
Call her up and ask her if she wants a vibrator for her 80th
Make
birthday.
Make eggs? Gregory, you're insulting me.
Can you ask her?
No.
Would you ask her
No,
that?
I wouldn't even ask her why she took a shower with me. Why am I going to ask her that?
I want to know if she wants that. And then she could open it up in front of the children. That'd be awesome. What if they find my little friend? How do I explain that?
They're not going to find it. They're not going to know what it is.
I'm going to say it's just a massager for your body.
It's a back massager.
They'll say, well, why is it shaped like a private area?
Why does it look like a big black dick?
Why does it look like... It's double-headed. Did you ever see those?
Unfortunately, I think I did. I have a memory that I can't seem to get rid of. All right,
maybe that's the swag we should give out for the ladies.
Whoa,
yeah.
Now you're hitting on something.
That's right, the vibrator, and then we'll go get those fake vaginas for
that's
the boys.
That's a great idea.
Actually, the gay boys want the vibrator too, and so far we have a lot of gay boy listeners.
With Stephanie and Greg show on it.
I'm always thinking.
And you can sign it.
That's right. Isn't that awesome?
And we can give it out.
They could think of us every time they enjoy themselves and think how much pleasure we bring to their lives.
That's great.
That's right. The Greg and Stephanie show, the Stephanie and Greg show, we bring pleasure to your life.
We lighten your load.
That's right. I think it's awesome.
Let us lighten your load.
Let's get on top of it.
Immediately.
I'm on it. All right, listen, there's a lot to cover today. So
I bet we're going to get calls from Corey and Placido liking that one.
661-349-TALK. Give us a call.
And hi, Tammy. I didn't say hi to Tammy yesterday, who wrote in and said she enjoyed our show.
Where did she write that?
She wrote on my Facebook, but I wasn't online.
On your Facebook or on the show Facebook?
It was on my Facebook, it appeared.
That's why I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
All
Thank
right.
you, Tammy.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Hi, Kathy.
Coming up later in the show, comedian Tom Riehl. Here's a clip from a recent show.
Things are working out perfectly. And I used to work a 40-hour week job. I didn't really mind that. I didn't really enjoy too much like going on the interviews or filling out the job applications. I didn't really like that. And if anyone's looking for a job right now, I feel your pain. Well, Mr. Riehl, we can see here by your application that you are divorced, so I guess we can pretty much assume that making any sort of a long-term commitment to our company is going to be pretty much impossible for you to do. I'd be like, no, but it means I'll probably be hanging around here for the next 27 years, no matter how crappy you treat me.
It's perfect.
But I will be seeing other employers on the side.
All right.
That's hilarious.
He's great.
She's very funny. I never saw him perform until 2 weeks ago when I worked with him at the Playhouse at Camino Real.
So listen.
And he's a handsome young man.
He's a handsome man. And I've known him for years and I never saw him perform live.
I know. It was a treat and a pleasure.
Ah, an email. Our good friend and audience member Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
From Oregon. I want to wish Greg, Stephanie, and everyone at Talk Radio X, including Mr. and Mrs. Maui, a happy Thanksgiving.
It's nice.
Moment. I'm thankful that my husband and I finally found the piece of property that we can afford closer to where our sons and grandbabies live. That's important.
That is important. We'll be dead by the time our kids have grandbabies, so.
Why did we move away from my parents?
They were annoying.
Gregory, I heard that. You don't think I listen to the show every day?
Get in the shower.
Get in here and scrub my poontang.
Oh, no. That's just not right.
I'm also thankful for awesome talk radio shows like yours. Kathy from Oregon. Yay. Thank you.
Kathy.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your whole family, Stephen and Michael and all the kids. We love, I don't want the audience to get too big because I want to be able to wish them all.
Right. So if you're thinking about being a fan, stop. Immediately.
So we can wish them
Don't write us.
Personal.
No, I mean write us.
Stephanie at StephanieandGregShow.com. Plumbers have a happy Thanksgiving. Do you know about this?
No, I do not.
Every year, Thanksgiving is their...
They do have a plunger
their busiest,
at all times.
It's their busiest day.
So that could be fun.
What does that have to do with anything? Oh, the plunger?
Yes.
You're sick.
I'm always thinking.
You freak.
That's why you love me.
According to Roto-Rooter, the day after Thanksgiving is the single busiest day of the year for residential plumbers, mainly because big holiday meal preparation and cleanup leads to lots of unwanted waste in the drain, the garbage disposal, and the toilets.
Yummy, a lot of stuffing. Is it a high suicide rate?
No, that's Christmas.
Oh. For plumbers?
This guy from Roto-Rooter said, I pulled a ham bone out of a toilet one Thanksgiving.
What the hell's a ham bone?
I think I got my hand stuck in the toilet once.
You did?
Remember the time this happens all the time.
The tampon?
Yeah, she used to flush tampons down the toilet all the time. She still does.
I don't. I don't do it anymore.
One day, like five years ago, the toilet was clogged.
I had to leave the house.
I had to call the plumber. He comes out like 45 minutes later from under the house. He had to take the pipes apart, and he dumps a tampon on the sink.
Were you embarrassed?
And he's like, who do you... I was like, oh. No, because I knew it wasn't mine.
Was it all bloody?
He knew it wasn't mine.
Was it bloody?
It was a bloody mess. That's what it was.
Oh, this is getting gross even for me. And I have a high tolerance for gross.
This Chuck Cruz, a Roto-Rooter employer in Tampa, once answered a call on Thanksgiving to unclog a sewer that he fixed the night before.
Oh, boy.
Greeted with curses from the family patriarch, an Armenian grandfather, Cruz went to work and eventually managed to extract an entire rabbit's head by the ears.
What the heck? What, did they eat it? They
apparently,
eat rabbit?
Apparently, the family chose to have rabbit rather than turkey. And the plumber clucked with joy when he explained the problem to the man who had just cursed him out shortly before.
Imagine finding a rabbit's head. It's like, that must have been the weirdest thing he's ever found. Like,
he was so happy because he was able to charge them an extra $150.
I would charge him $500 for pulling a rabbit's head out of anywhere.
He was very happy that he was able to present a poo-covered rabbit head to the family.
Not only is he a plumber, he's a magician.
He pulled a rabbit out of the
toilet. I want to know what the weirdest thing plumbers have found, like, in the toilet. Like, rabbit's head is pretty weird. Like, have they found, like, gerbils and people, like, flush giant fish, maybe?
I'm sure they find fishes all the time.
No, but a giant fish.
They found a pair of dentures once. Oh. Guy flushed them down there, figured he would never get them back. And then, like, 2 weeks later, the toilet clogged.
Oh, my. They're in the toilet.
So here's some tips. Never pour fats or cooking oils down the drain. They solidify in the pipes. Avoid putting stringy, fibrous, or starchy waste in the garbage disposal.
What the hell would that be? Stringy?
I don't know.
Starchy waste.
Poultry skins.
Oh, okay.
Celery, which we never eat. Fruit and potato peels.
Celery's in our soup.
I thought you could put fruit and fruit peel into the...
No.
No?
Thick.
Fruit peel?
Yeah, like an orange is thick.
Oh, I was thinking of apple peels.
No, those are
banana peels. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Make sure the disposal's running when you put food into it.
I tried to flush a Barbie down the toilet.
You did?
Yeah. When
Why?
I was younger.
Oh, when you were younger?
I wanted to see if it swam.
Yeah, they found one. They found it. That was probably yours.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Was it all moldy and decomposed from 30 years ago?
It's valuable.
I had a friend who used to do sexy shows for me when I was like 11 years old, 10 years old, in my bathroom with Barbie and Ken. Did I tell you that?
Sex scenes?
Yeah, she used to do like they were like dating and kissing in the tub.
How old were you?
I don't know, 10, 11. She was way ahead of her time.
Hmm.
Her mother was divorced and sleeping with a married man.
Oh, you told me about that.
And she probably saw way more than she should have. She was definitely ahead of her time. I think she used to, you know, be with more than one guy at a time at 16.
Good influence.
We used to
not interesting. Let me finish the drain story.
All right. Oh, that's fascinating. That's an eye-opener.
Here, this is for you. Never flush cotton balls, swabs, hair, or facial scrub pads down a toilet.
Uh-huh. What if you have a huge poopy?
Well, if you have a huge...
stand
no,
up to finish
well,
it. Sorry.
Hey, listen. Guess who's here? It's Tom Real.
Is this thing working?
Wow, that was weird.
I'm sitting here listening to Stephanie talk about poopy, and I feel like I'm part of the family.
I'm so immature, Tom, sometimes.
But in a good way.
Yeah, I hope so. I enjoy it.
Not physically.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. Did you hear we played a piece of your...
Actually, I did. I was trying to get a vibe of the show since I haven't really listened to it too much. So I want to see what you guys are doing over there. So, yeah, I did hear my clip, and that's some funny shit.
I know. You can't really figure out what we're doing because we don't really know what we're doing.
No, he's talking about his stuff.
Oh, you. I thought he was trying to figure out the show. I see.
No, you guys are great together. I mean, it sounds like I can feel the love coming through my computer.
Oh, boy.
It's
oozing. I think that's what that is.
Yeah. I did not know you were married. I had no idea. I learned something every time I hear your comedy.
Well, actually, I'm not married, but
no.
I have a longtime girlfriend. So I guess by California law, I am married.
Is the divorce a lie then?
Oh, yeah. I was married and then divorced. So that's been many, many years ago.
Can we get into that a little bit?
Whatever turns you on, Greg, I'm here for you.
Well, I mean, it's fascinating to me. How long have you been divorced?
Well, probably about 15 years, I guess. I waited till I was 30 to get married, figured that was going to work, and actually it did not.
So what went wrong?
You're going to have to ask her. It's one of those we kind of grew apart scenarios.
Uh-huh.
Did she grow apart?
Yeah,
did you grow apart?
She grew apart from you, it sounds like.
She grew apart from me.
you still wanted to be part.
That's right.
And she...
It's always the woman. The men want to stick it out.
Either the women want to get out or the men cheat. One or the other. The women.
But the thing is, when you think about it, I mean, in the reality of it is, and you guys have been married for how many, 20 some years, right?
Not quite, but it feels like.
I mean, just the idea of finding someone and staying with them for your whole entire life. I mean, that's really kind of hard to understand sometimes, isn't it? Because people change. You know, you get married when you're 20. When you're 50, you're a completely different person. So you got to, I guess, change together, right?
I'm still not sure. I'm weighing my options.
I'm a lot more immature than I was.
Yeah, I think I got more immature as we.
Really?
But we got married older too. Like I was 32 and he was 35. So
well, plus you have kids, so that kind of takes you're not really paying as much attention to each other. You're more or less paying attention to the kids, so you can't really get on each other's nerves as much, right?
That's probably true. But then we also have less freedom. I think when you have kids, you have more responsibility. Like if we didn't have kids, I probably would be out all day drinking, and he would be at a hooker. So
no, strip club is good enough.
Yeah, strip club. So I think we would just have different interests, but we would be busy as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's never easy. I can't. You know, it's never a joy.
Would you?
There's got to be a joyful moment every now and then, right?
No. There are. I can count them on.
Well, let me
hand.
Tell you this.
No.
Stephanie, all of a sudden today, out of nowhere, she's like, "We're going out tonight." without the kids, which she never, ever did before, ever said anything like that. And she called a babysitter, and she's taking me out on a date.
That's right. See?
Well, now that's very romantic and sweet, Greg. You should be very happy that Stephanie is doing that.
That's right.
I am. I'm going to get her a new vibrator for Christmas.
One of those double-headed black ones?
Yes.
She needs you really did hear everything.
I didn't miss a thing.
She needs a larger one because the other one she's already sick of.
I wore it out. It's like, please let me rest.
She grinded it down with her piranha-like vagina.
It's just like a little rubber nub now, right?
It's just she can only use it as a butt plug now.
Aren't you glad to know all these things? Like, I was trying to be professional with Tom. I did his, he runs a show. That I did a couple weeks ago. Very professional.
What show was it?
And I will say, you were very funny. I've seen video of you, but I've never seen you perform live, and you were very funny. So
thank you.
The crowd loved you too.
Thank you. I got two emails, Tom, from people in the audience.
Really?
Yeah, they were really complimentary.
Well, I gotta tell you, I've been doing the show for a year, and I've never even gotten that.
Well, they loved the show. They loved the whole show.
Yeah, you were great. I really, and Tom just had to jump in because a comic didn't show up. And then he showed up like, how long was it? An hour into the show?
Oh, was that another one of those stories where they something better came along, or did he get lost?
The way the story went is he got lost. Yeah, we've been pretty lucky down there, because we always try to book comics we know. And for the most part, we've been lucky. But the last 2 months, I wasn't there last month. And Ron, the guy I do the show with, wasn't there the month before. And we had two incidents, this one being, with the guy not getting there on time when the show started. But then the month prior to that, we had a host booked. And after he got up and did his 10 minutes, he introduced the first comic and then left.
The headline, who was the headliner that night that I was there? I forgot his name.
That was Jazz Kaner.
Jazz, right. He knew that the middle was a black comic, the one who was late that missed the show. So he said, I don't want to follow an ethnic comic.
Ethnic?
That's what he said. He wanted to follow a Jew woman, a woman Jew, me, because he wanted to tell you that he didn't want to follow. He goes, sometimes it's weird when I follow a black comic or an ethnic comic.
Did he say that on stage? Or he told
he said that to me.
Oh, boy.
He said that to me. No. He didn't. And I said, apparently, he was, uncomfortable about following the black comics.
Everybody has their own
problems. You have your own stuff in your head, like what you think in your experience. Like, I've followed black comics, and sometimes they're very dirty. What I mean? So,
that's usually the case, which I don't think this guy was.
But it was funny.
Actually, down here in South Orange County, we don't say the word black. We use the word ethnic. So that's
yeah, that was funny. I go, what, the black guy? You mean? He goes, I don't like to follow ethnic. So I don't know. It's just funny. I was like, but a woman, a Jew ethnic woman.
Well, was he comfortable with that?
Yes. Apparently that didn't worry him.
Yeah, because ethnic people are usually a lot funnier than Jew women.
Yeah.
And darker, too.
Yeah. They're darker. And maybe I don't talk about my privates as much as a black comic.
But
I don't know. But I enjoy talking about them. I just don't do it as much.
It seems like this is your outlet to talk about your privates here on the radio.
Yes, I talk about everything that's inappropriate. And that, people my friends and our relatives are like, oh, let me have the link. And we're like, no, you really don't want the link to the show. We talk about you. We talk about, a lot of my son's friends.
You talk about us? Really? What do you say? Nothing. We don't use your real name, so don't worry about it.
Right, we have names.
That's the thing about doing the radio show is, on the internet is you can say and do whatever you want. So you really have to understand that maybe the family will be listening every once in a while.
Screw them.
Well, no. Yeah.
Are you guys like this, like at Thanksgiving, like when you get together with the family? Is it the same kind of banter?
Well, no. We don't have family. I wonder why.
We moved away from our family.
Oh, they're all back on the East Coast?
Yeah. So
well, let's put it this way.
Them.
We have a bunch of cousins out here, and we've invited them all over for Thanksgiving, and none of them decided to come. So,
Oh, man.
I guess it's a hint. Maybe they heard the show. But I don't advertise the
See,
show
See, I don't
friends.
Talk that much in real life. I need a microphone. Otherwise, it's not worth my time to even open my mouth. I just sit there.
So you're shy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm not shy. I just don't feel that, most people don't have anything interesting to say. And I don't really have anything interesting to say. And this way, nobody can say anything bad to me because there's nobody else here.
And also, yeah, you don't like to bullshit.
Yeah, I can understand that for sure. I'm kind of that way too. But yeah, it's like, I don't do well in social situations a lot of times with people I don't know, unless I'm performing or I have to actually pretend like I'm enjoying myself.
Or I'm drunk. Right. I can do it when
I'm drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. Or there's ethnic people around then.
I don't go to those kind of parties.
See, Stephanie has no problem. She's the same way
I'll talk to anybody at any time. And my son is the same way. Like, he's a chatterbox at school. He's shy, but when he's sitting next to someone, like in class, he chats with them. How about you? Did you ever want kids, or are you still going to have kids, or does your girlfriend want kids? What's going on?
The girl I've been with for a long time now, she has two children. They're grown. They're like 20 and 19 now. And I don't know. I guess they're my stepkids, but since we're not married, but legally we're together, I guess, or what would they be, like your stepkids, or what does that make them?
Depends if they care about you or not, I guess.
If you like them,
they're your kids. If you hate them,
they're her kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's easy, man.
We've solved the problem.
Yeah, I was overthinking it.
I hope you're writing it down.
Yeah.
Wait, did they grow up with you? Like, were you the,
I came into the picture. Now their dad is still around, and you know, he's a good dad. So, you know, they spend, you know, time with them, then spend time with us when they were growing up. But, when I came into the picture, I think they're like 6 and 7 years old. Now they're 19 and 20.
So they were little. So you kind of grew up with them.
Yeah, I got to mold them and shape them into a little me, but it didn't really work out that well.
Why they don't talk to you?
But you know what? You can only do so much, you know, when you're just like the stepdad. You know, a lot of times, you know, if the father is involved and not involved, then you have a lot more say. But this time, you know, but it's kind of cool because my girlfriend and I and her ex-husband, we all get along fine. So they always saw us, everyone getting along. So it was a good environment for them to grow up
in.
It's not like somebody hated somebody or something else. It was all good.
That's good. Well, that's an awkward thing though. I think about that, like as a step parent, like, or you know, the boyfriend is like, you really can't discipline them.
Yeah, I know.
That's
so
tricky.
So just sit back and you hope everything turns out well. And you interject little things every now and then, but for the most part, you just have to be in the background.
Right.
Bite your lip.
Yeah, you'd bite like, lip, well, yeah. You just be like, if they're wrecking the house, you just watch TV and make your girlfriend take care of it. Did you want kids, your own kids, or not really?
Well, when I was younger, it came in phases. Sometimes I wished I did, and sometimes, you know, then I'm glad I didn't. So at this point in my life, yeah, I wish I had someone. I mean, now I'm getting older. It'd be nice, you know, to have someone take care of me when I'm like 80 years old and clean up after me and crap like that. You know, I mean, that's what kids are good for, right? Or mowing the grass.
But you never know if they're really going to want to do that or not. It's a risk.
Yeah, that's a big commitment.
Yeah.
You're taking a big chance.
You're taking a chance.
You're investing a lot of money and time, and you never know how it's going to turn out.
Well, I'm hoping to live a really long time so I could be an annoyance to my kids.
Well, plus then you get to maybe clean up after Greg.
Oh,
Greg
gets
older.
I'm going to change his diet. Yeah,
my bedpan is dirty.
Oh, my God. I don't look forward to that. Is your comedy based on just your, like, life experiences or... Like, what do you?
I guess my take on the comedy thing is I get kind of frustrated, you know, just with everyday life, with people, with situations, with just the stuff that angers me. So I guess that's kind of what I've turned into over the last 5-6 years is kind of and my material's kind of always taken on kind of I'm tired of this. This angers me. I don't want to put up with this. People are stupid kind of thing.
It's so great. That's everybody feels that way. So it's great. You know?
Yeah. Very relatable. And you're very likable. You know, I really enjoyed you. And he went on, he wasn't prepared to go on that night. He, you know, as a producer, I understand because I've done it where you have to take care of everything else. You know, there's so much to do. You're doing the music, you're doing, making sure the audience is okay, mate. And then all of a sudden now you're doing stand-up.
Yeah, it's all, I'm glad that, you know, I can do stand-up, and my partner Ron, he does stand-up too. So if someone doesn't show up or we need to fill time, I mean, one of us just jumps in and fills a spot, which is a good thing, because a lot of times if you produce and you don't do comedy, then if one or two comics don't show up, then the show is screwed.
Yes, absolutely. Or they try to, I've seen that too, where like people don't do stand-up think they can. I'm sure you've seen that many times, and it's pretty painful. And then you have to follow that.
Yeah.
And it's just like you have to warm up the crowd yourself. Actually, they brought the crowd so far down that they dug a hole.
Well, it just so happened that particular night that you were at, the crowd was all there and ready for the show. So like at about 25 after seven, which is never usually happens. Usually we have stragglers coming in at about 25 till 20 till. So we usually hold the show. But this time everyone was seated and ready to go, you know, right at 7:30.
Yeah, no, it was packed. It was a really, really fun. I would love to do it whenever you want to have me. Just
next time we have you back, you're going to be the headliner if you want to do that. And maybe bring Greg next time too.
Ooh,
well, thank you. I can't follow any ethnic comics though. Women. Ethnic or Jews.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is we'll book you and you just send me the list of people that you can't follow and whatever we have to do to make it work, you know, we're going to do.
I want
to
follow a monkey. Do you have an animal act?
Plate spinners.
I'm sure we can probably find something for you.
Thank you.
You know what she used to do to me? I went to like her first maybe 40 or 50 shows when she first started doing comedy before we had kids. And she used to make the horrible jokes about me on the stage. And then she'd go, and there he is in the back. There's my husband.
Everyone does that. Say hi. The new comics, we all do that. Like when you're new, you always point out the person and it makes everyone horribly uncomfortable.
And I'm slithering down in my chair. Not me. I go, none of it's true.
So you don't go to the shows anymore because of that?
Well,
now he has to babysit though.
Yeah, that and the babysitting.
Yeah, now he has to babysit. So Tom, how long have you been doing stand-up?
Oh God, it's probably close. I was just thinking about that the other day. It's probably close to like 20 years.
Wow. Are you from here?
Probably about 17 years, I think. Yeah, I started back in the early 90s.
Wow. And you were able to do it all, like most of your comedy in Orange County, or did you do a lot in LA too?
When I first started out, I mean, I was doing the rooms up in LA. I'd go then, you know, every once in a while I'd do like out of town stuff, like in maybe Arizona, New Mexico. I'd go back east every once in a while or up to Minnesota. I mean, I never did the whole road thing where I was gone for like weeks at a time. I never went that route, but I try to do as many shows as I can. If I have to drive a little bit, I've done that. I've done corporate events outside of Orange County. So yeah, wherever the comedy takes me, I guess.
And you have the freedom because you don't have the children. You can travel, so that's kind of
good. Well, you know, that's true, but I have a dog, so that's that's just bad.
Yeah,
it's a dog that you can't be left alone for any length of time. So
what does he do? What does he do if you leave him?
He gets upset.
He gets upset.
He's angry.
he treats you like crap when you get home.
Yeah, he just stands there and stares at me with his paws crossed, you know, going, okay, where the hell you been? You know, it's really kind of uncomfortable for both of us. But now, if I go away for a day, that's fine. But overnight, you know, then he kind of goes a little crazy.
Oh, that's
so
good.
But being that, you know, I'm in a relationship, you know, I can leave. And if I need go overnight, you know, there's always somebody here. But if the first time we went away on vacation, we dropped him off at a kennel and left him there for a week. When I went back east for my class reunion a couple of years ago, and we came back and this dog, his eyes were completely bloodshot. His hair was standing up. He was like, we only had him for probably 6 or 8 months at that time. And at that, we swore then we would never ever stick him in a kennel again, just because he couldn't handle it.
But it was one of those things.
We would go when we were back east. We'd call and go, "How's the dog doing?" The people at the shelter or the kennel would go, "Oh, he's doing fine. He's loving it here." Then we get back there and it's like completely wired and his eyes are all bugging out and red.
Oh my gosh.
The hell did you guys do?
Maybe he's doing coke.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe
he couldn't say anything.
He probably hooked up with like an ethnic dog.
Right. He's sitting there listening to the phone call with them telling you that he's doing fine and going,
That's so sad.
He couldn't say anything.
He couldn't sleep. He was pulling his hair out. Just don't steal our idea of vibrating swag. Because I know
I think you've now that you've talked about that on air. I don't think anyone can do that. I think that's yours. You own that.
That's
now.
Right.
And I just my only thing was you said you were going to autograph it. Now does it would have to be on some sort of a permanent marker, right? Because you get all that black right. ink inside of you,
and it has to be good. Autographed before it's
that's
used.
Up in the air. I got to work.
It's used. That's a good,
yeah.
That's a good
I'm going to work
too.
Through that idea. I don't know if I like.
We have to work out the details on that.
Yeah, I think it's a doable thing though.
TomReal.com, right? That's your comedy website.
R-I-E-H-L. Yeah. And I will be playing Santa a couple nights down here in Mission Viejo. They have a big extravaganza. So if you want to come down and sit on Tom Reel's lap.
Oh, boy.
I would like that. I may hurt you, though.
That would be a good Christmas present for me.
Yeah, and me too.
So before we go, take the opportunity, if you can, to contact us. We do want to wish you all a really, really happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving weekend to you and your families. Thank you so much for listening to us. And if you can, let other people know about the show. Rate us on iTunes. Leave a comment for us there. Leave a comment for us on Talk Radio X, wherever you happen to be listening to us. Also, friend us on Facebook. Facebook.com/The Stephanie and Greg Show. All right. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us. I hope you can we can do this again sometime.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye, Tom. Thank you.
Tom Reel, everybody.
Best of luck. Bye.
Bye. He's fun.
Big round of applause.
Don't drink the milk.
Why?
It's spoiled.
You kids put that milk on your marsh and eat it. And shut your filthy pie holes while I listen to the Stephanie and Greg Show. Because if you kids bother me during my program, I'll chew yous up and swallow yous. And then I'll regurgitate yous and I'll put yous back into your own mush. And then I'll diarrhea yous into the bowl and take you out with a ladle and spoon yous back into your own goddamn soup, you rat bastards. Enjoy your breakfast.
Stephanie and Greg Show.